Good evening, each one. Good to have you with us this evening, if anyone's visiting. And if you're part of our regular congregation, we're especially want to say welcome to you this evening, because I'm going to speak to you, and I trust that what we have to speak on this evening is very practical, and that there's a message for each one of us here in it. I'll have you turn to the book of Acts to start, Acts chapter 2, and probably the most familiar verse in that chapter, or one of them, verses I should say. I'm going to start at Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. And this is after, of course, Peter's message to the Jews and how he speaks to them, and it says, they were cut to the heart, and they repent. And so he tells them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And just pause there, and I'm going to get you to flip over to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And we'll start at verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Crenche, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many, and of myself as well. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampelatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegion, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, Olympus, and all the saints, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister in Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. And so that's perhaps an interesting section of text to read, but I read these two as a sort of context, to lay some groundwork for what I would like to speak on tonight, which is fellowship, or this idea of belonging to or being a part of a local fellowship. We can, I don't know if you can tell, and we know the context, many of us who have read these passages before, there's a tone here, especially in this chapter in Acts. This is, you know, the church is brand new, and there's excitement and there's energy and there's enthusiasm as they, you know, they're freshly saved and they're really just on fire. And we see in both in this section and in the last part of Romans there with Paul, There's care and there's love. That's so evident in the way that he's addressing each of these individuals. He wants to say specific ones by name and wants them to be greeted. And he says some kind things to the different ones too. We sense and we see in the New Testament church here in Acts that they're united as a group in purpose. They're united in their mission. And that there's, again, care and love for one another. And what we would trust here is that care, that love, that unity of purpose, of mission, carries through with them as they go forward through good times and through bad times. And so sometimes on a Sunday morning here at the chapel, those of you who have been here for some time, an elder will get up and announce to the assembly that such and such a person has expressed their desire to become come into the fellowship of the assembly. And sometimes we'll give a little time, a week or so, and to welcome them in, and eventually in the course of time that person is, we say, this morning we'd like to welcome so-and-so into the fellowship here at the chapel. And so perhaps there's someone in the audience who doesn't know why we do that, or we don't know what that's all about. That whole process seems very formal. Why do we do that in that way? What is this idea of coming into the fellowship? What does that mean if I am a part of the fellowship? And if I'm not, and I want to be a part, how do I become a part of the fellowship? So these are just some things that we hope to address and talk about this evening. So I'll draw your attention to some resources that I used in my preparations. Of course, out in the entryway, you'll find this pamphlet that Leonard has written up a couple of years ago. And I was thinking, no doubt he probably shared a message very shortly after this came out on this very topic. So I know that we've probably talked about this before, but it just was something on my heart to share with the assembly. And so we're going to. You can read this, and it's a very nice, succinct summary of what is fellowship and who is in fellowship and what does that mean if you're in fellowship and so on and so forth. So it's an excellent pamphlet if you wanted to read it over or give it to someone who is maybe thinking about coming into fellowship. Another great book we have in the library is this one, another book that I've used before in preparing messages, The Church at Work by Brian Gunning. Excellent little book here about the responsibilities of people in fellowship. And some other stuff as well. So to start at the very foundation, we talk about the church. Well, the church is the local body of believers. The church universal is all those who profess the name of the Lord Jesus. And the local church is a local gathering of those individuals who claim the name of Christ. We are God's representatives here on earth in the local church. And there's an interesting analogy that one of those references or resources that I read talked about the church being like an embassy in enemy territory. And it was an interesting way of the way he drew that out of how the church acts and those within the church act, given that they're unique and they're special and they're in a place in many respects in which is not home, is not theirs. And we can certainly understand that. You can come, if you're coming to this church or any church, you can go to a church. You can attend the meetings of a church, and yet you can find yourself not in fellowship, not a part of the fellowship. And in the New Testament pattern, we don't see that as the model. That's not practiced. The two are synonymous. If you were a believer in the early church, in the early New Testament, you were in the church. You were a part of the local church. The two were very, very much connected. And so the church, the local church, is that place, that local expression where believers gather and where they represent the Lord Jesus Christ in their local community and where they would fellowship. So what is fellowship? Generally, the terms fellowship, and I may throughout the time that I talk this evening, sometimes I'll say fellowship, sometimes I'll say membership, and I don't mean those to be necessarily synonymous, but they'll go back and forth. And sometimes you'll hear in conversations about belonging to a church is this idea of membership, But being in the fellowship is more than just belonging to a church. It's not just a place where you go on a Sunday morning. The universal body of Christ. So the difference, I guess, between membership and fellowship is the body of Christ provides immediate membership. So once you have, when you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your faith and trust in Him, you are entered into the membership, if you will, of the church. And the membership is based on your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your fellowship is more than that or broader than that. So the idea of fellowship has some different connotations. One of them is communion and partnership, and it speaks about that in the pamphlet. So communion meaning when you have communion with someone, you're walking and talking with them, and partnership is obviously working together. So the combination of those things, walking alongside, working together, that's the idea of fellowship. And there's also the idea of participation, so getting involved, and distribution, and we'll talk about some of that as we go forward. And so as we commune, as we in our own individual personal lives, as we commune with God and we read His Word and we grow in our relationship through that sort of vertical relationship between ourselves and God, and we strengthen that and nurture that, we work that out, I guess, practically and spiritually on a horizontal plane with one another, through relationships with others and specifically within the body of Christ, the believers together in different contexts, but mainly as a unified body of believers in the local church context. So unity is a key ingredient there of part of that as well. So by definition, I guess, if we're going to nail down a kind of definition, and it's hard to nail exactly one down, but one that was I saw here is to enter into a fellowship, to become a part of a local fellowship at a local church, is to formally commit oneself. And that's a key idea there as well, committing oneself to an identifiable local body of believers who have joined together for specific divinely ordained purposes. Some of those purposes are listed for us in Acts 2:42, which we just read about. And within that is the idea of serving and edifying one another. And also as a part of that is that the person who is entering into a fellowship is submitting themselves in a number of contexts, and we'll talk about that as well, but submitting themselves to the care and authority of biblically qualified elders. And so that idea there of committing oneself is a key part. Commitment. Commitment is a rare thing. I'm not exactly sure of what is the cause of it, but it's something that is a rarity, I think, amongst a certain generation where it's hard for people to stick to things for any length of time. There's sort of a, you know, we get attached to something very quickly and we get really passionate about it, but then that fades out. So commitment to anything is a bit of a rarity today, and it's something that it finds itself in the local church as well, where there's a lack of commitment. Someone said to neglect or to refuse to join a church formally as through entering the fellowship, reflects a misunderstanding of the believer's responsibility to the body of Christ. And, secondarily, it cuts one off from the many blessings and opportunities that flow from this commitment. It is essential for every Christian to understand what it means, church membership, belonging to a fellowship, and why that matters. So when we you talk about fellowship or becoming a part of a fellowship, there's no scriptural command. We can't go to a single verse that says you must become a part. But we see it emphasized a number of different ways in the New Testament. One, in the example of the early church. We see it all throughout the New Testament letters. Two, in the fact that there is a church government and what its purposes are. Thirdly, in the exercise of church discipline, that it happens at all indicates that there is a fellowship. And fourthly, there's the exhortation to mutually benefit and to edify one another. Hard to do that independently. So firstly, in the example of the early church, coming to Christ, as we said, that meant joining a local church. That was what it was all about. When an individual, like in Acts there, when they repented and believed in Christ, they were immediately baptized in that part, and then added to the church in Acts 16 as well. More simply than living out an isolated private commitment to Christ, this meant joining together formally with other believers in a local assembly and devoting themselves to those things in Acts 2:42. So in the life and authority of the local church, in turn, orients and shapes the lives of the believers who are a part of it. Secondly, the existence of church government. A plurality of elders is the model that is shown in the New Testament epistles, and their job is to oversee a local body of believers, and there are specific duties given to them. And that presupposes then that as part of those duties, that there's a clearly defined group of church members who are under the care of those elders. Elders are responsible to shepherd the people of God and to keep watch over their souls. And solemnly, elders will one day give an account to God for the individuals allotted to their charge. That's a heavy thing to be responsible for a body of believers. The responsibilities require that there is a distinguishable, mutually understood group that belongs to a local church. Elders can shepherd the people and give an account to God for their spiritual well-being only if they know who they are. They can provide oversight only if they know those for whom they are responsible. And they can fulfill their duty to shepherd the flock only if they know who is a part of the flock and who is not. So this is a justification for why there is this call for joining or becoming a part of a local fellowship. As I said, the elders of a church are not responsible for the spiritual well-being of every individual who comes into a church building or who attends sporadically. We are primarily responsible for those who have submitted themselves to their care. Thirdly, the third pillar, I guess, of this justification for becoming a part of a local fellowship is the exercise of church discipline. Church membership is implied by the way the church is supposed to discipline its members. The church appears to be in the final court of appeal in matters of church authority as it relates to membership. So church discipline, as it's outlined in Matthew 18, presupposes that the elders of a church, again, they know who they are shepherding over. They know who their flock is. You cannot, if in the case of excommunication, should that be called upon, the fact that happens implies that there is membership. You can't remove someone from something that doesn't exist. Fourthly, mutual edification. So building one another up. The New Testament teaches that the church is the body of Christ, and God has called every member to a life devoted to the growth of the body. That's what part of our responsibilities are. So Scripture exhorts believers to edify the members by practicing the one another's. And again, that's mentioned, the one another's of Scripture that of the New Testament, and exercising their spiritual gifts. Mutual edification, benefiting one another, only takes place in the context of a corporate body where there are a group of believers gathered together. And that exhortation presupposes believers have committed themselves to other believers in a specific local assembly. Additionally, there is some additional areas in the Scriptures where we can find support for church fellowship. In Romans 16, that very chapter that we read there at the end, there's an awareness of who is in that local church and who is there, and the way that Paul specifically addresses them by name and knows them. And then there's an example in 1 Timothy about a specific thing about caring for widows in the church. And so that shows organization, that there is an organization, and they're working out a plan, knowing who's in their care. So who is to be a part of the fellowship? A born-again believer in the Lord Jesus who has publicly professed their faith in Christ and has been baptized can be welcomed into the fellowship of a local body of believers. It doesn't make sense. The baptism is the public showing to all who are in attendance that this person has made a profession of faith and that they are a born-again believer. And since the church, the local fellowship, is made up of only of believers, that is, if you will, the entrance point. And so it's, you know, in terms of who is a part of this fellowship, again, we look around, you know, our local expression here, or any church you've been to, it's not a bunch of celebrities. It's not a bunch of superstars. It's, in one aspect, we're nothing special. We're the old logs that Travis spoke of this morning. And yet, at the same time, we're the, we're called a kingdom of priests. So this duality exists as, you know, as people who are part of a local fellowship working together, ultimately, again, for the glory of God in these things. So how does one join fellowship? Well, the Lord is the one who adds people to a local fellowship. And so a person may have a, you know, desire to be a part of a local group. The Lord adds. The assembly then, in turn, recognizes that individual and receives them. And so recognizes what? Well, they're recognizing this person is first and foremost a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember when they were baptized, or we were there at their baptism. They made a profession of their faith, and they see them as wanting, as disciples who are growing in the Lord and want to, that are maturing, that are being sanctified and growing. The church, the local church, then therefore affirms and acknowledges that person as belonging to Christ, and affirms them to the oversight of the local church. And so, in different church contexts, texts will do this differently. Some enter into a fellowship or start taking in partaking in activities as a person in fellowship might right after they're baptized. It's an automatic thing that they enter into. Here at the Charlottetown Bible Chapel, we often will have a meeting with individuals just a chance for us to sit down with an individual and just have a very, hopefully, nice, easy chat with them, and just sort of for a chance maybe for us to get to know them a little better, to talk to them a little bit about what it is, like, what is your understanding of fellowship? What is it that you believe, what is it your thoughts on fellowship? And where do you see yourself participating here and taking part? And then we do that thing where we announce it to the assembly, and the assembly then recognizes and affirms and receives this person as part of the group. And it's a way of sort of saying, like, you're with us now. We're on the same team. We're gonna encourage you. We're gonna build you up. We're going to find a way for you to practice and exercise your spiritual gift. We're going to come alongside you when you're hurting. We're going to provide for you physically where we can. And we're going to be blessed by you as the Lord works through you and you work your gifting out here in the local body. So, newly received believers are read into fellowship. Also, sometimes we've had, and we had over COVID, a couple of different people come in from different assemblies, and oftentimes they'll bring a letter with them that is a transfer of fellowship, and it says often, this couple or this individual was in happy fellowship with us here at this local church, and they're moving into your area, and so we trust that you welcome them as a part of into your meeting, and sometimes, in some cases, they'll say, this is some things that this individual was doing here at our church, and so maybe you'll find a spot for them to start exercising those gifts in your meeting. So it's a nice transfer there. So what is expected of a believer who becomes a part of or enters into the fellowship of a local meeting? Overall, there's different ways to sort of look at this, but one that I liked in a couple of different resources that I read talked about just generally having an attitude of submission and how that attitude will sort of permeate into all the areas that you will find yourself as a member of a local body. We are to give ourselves to our local body of believers in a number of ways, and this is not exhaustive. Number one, we give ourselves publicly to the local body. Formally and officially, we are recognized, as we said, as they're brought into fellowship. It is known in the assembly all knows, This individual is in our fellowship, is one of us. We're to give ourselves, when we come into a local body, we are to give ourselves spiritually to the Word of God. We are to submit to biblical truth as we learn about it and as are taught and as we teach it. Those of us who have that opportunity, we submit to the Word of God and to what it says and how it instructs us to live. We submit spiritually as we exercise spiritual gifts and build each other up and pray, etc. We have an attitude submission, and we give ourselves personally. This is the big one. We give ourselves, as we said, to the elders. We submit submit to a body of elders that are over us, that are shepherding of us and care for us. And even in that, you know, Leonard and Dave and I, we submit to one another often, even in our meetings and when we communicate with one another, that we practice that same attitude of submission one to another, and we trust to even within the local body. We submit to one another, and we submit because we love those whom we shepherd. There's a side note here too, is one of the things that I read about is when you're not to submit. And there's some criteria of when you're not to submit, and it generally has to do with when there's abusive leadership, when there's all sorts of troubles within the leadership, when it's very obvious that they're out for dishonest gain, or when they're not practicing the things that they are called to be doing. But you know, we trust that doesn't happen. So personally, we have that attitude of submission. We're giving of ourselves personally. If you're going to be in fellowship and you're going to be active, it's a sacrifice of your time. And that requires us to crucify the flesh in so many ways. Being in a local fellowship is time-consuming. Those of you who are here this evening, you've sacrificed your Sunday evenings to come and hear from the Word of God, and I trust be edified from it. If you're in a local fellowship and you're giving of your time in a ministry, that is time, that is energy. That is stress. There's a lot there, and so that's just a prerequisite. If you're going to be a part of a local body, you are giving of yourself in so many ways. You are giving of yourself, and so part of being a part of a local fellowship is that you show up, is that you contribute. And Luke 2:42 uses the word to continue steadfastly, and that's that idea of commitment, long-term commitment over years and years, committing to a local assembly when it's doing well, when the good speakers are there, when the other ones are there, when the meetings are full, when they're half full. We are to commit to the meetings, continuing steadfastly. We're to have that attitude, personally, of that readiness to work, to be used. As we labor together as a local body to present the gospel, as we labor together to preach the gospel, to labor together with one another, to encourage one another in the Lord. If we are to join a local body of believers, we have an attitude of submission and giving ourselves socially. This is a quote that says, "Churches should be more than social clubs, but shouldn't be less. The local church should be a place where Christians form and shape one another for good through all the dynamics of friendship. Old and young, rich and poor, uneducated and educated, one ethnic group and another." I thought that was a nice thought of that's part of your submission, is you're submitting socially to one another. And so, while church should not be primarily a social club, there should be times where we get together, where we are just even over a meal or games night or music or whatever it might be, that we are coming together, building the bonds of friendship. That I think is a really critical part of a local body that we should definitely emphasize. We should have an attitude and give ourselves affectionately. 1 Corinthians 12 says that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Romans 12 says, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. So again, this whole attitude, that submissive attitude where we are considering others above ourselves, that's how that ought to be the attitude of our hearts as we come together and as we labor together side by side with one another, stirring one another up, even trying to outdo others in acts of love, having the same mind, sharing joys and burdens one with another, loving one another with brotherly love, comforting and restoring when there are offenses. Think of Tim's message the other week. Correcting and exhorting each other, confessing faults and zealously praying with and for one another. These are the marks of individuals in fellowship with one another. We have an attitude of submission in giving ourselves locally when we give financially. Romans 12:13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. I was thinking, you know, this isn't something when we have our meetings for those who want to come into fellowship, usually they're younger, and we have just often omitted to talk about the financial part of being in fellowship, but it is a part of it. And it probably is something that we as parents should be talking about with our kids at a very young age, that financially we're to be submissive in the things that we own, the things that we steward, as Travis was saying this morning. They're not ours to begin with, and so we should right off the top be giving unto the Lord for the work of the Lord. And we will read here on Wednesday nights letters from missionaries, many of which we know, some of which we don't, where we've been able to financially help them in their work. We financially support our commended workers, and we want to see them be taken care of for their physical needs so they can go about their spiritual work. Financially, we give so that we can support one another, so that we can keep a building, so that we can do lots of practical things. So there is an aspect to which we must submit our financially as members of a local body. And just lastly, we submit to one another part of being in fellowship is what one person said is submitting to ugliness, submitting to the realities of who we are as sinners who are being sanctified, believers who are being sanctified. We're imperfect. There is that duality of being kingdom of priests and yet sanctified believers who are growing into ideally into the image of the Lord Jesus. We have to recognize as we work together and come along and sit beside one another and worship together that we still have some of that ugliness at times. We need to be patient and kind and loving with one another when that ugliness rears itself and shows itself at times. But we're called to love one another as Christ has loved us. So let us be patient, kind, loving, and encouraging to one another. And so when we think about fellowship and being a part of a local fellowship, maybe you've asked it one time or another, or maybe you even asked this even, why bother? What's the point? It sounds like it's just something that as long as I can remain aloof and remain isolated, I can avoid this, having the elders, too involved, or am I avoiding trouble? That has been an attitude that has been expressed, and as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you understand what the New Testament pattern is for the local church, you're looking at it from the wrong way. The local church should be there as a place where we're looking out for one another. We're caring for you. We're loving one another. We're trying to find a way and a place where you can be used for the Lord, for His glory. And so, yes, a part of that is correcting, just the same way a parent would lovingly correct a child who is erring. That's all part of it. So the Christian life isn't meant to be lived independently. You're not an island unto yourself. Can sanctification happen alone? How can you develop your spiritual gift in isolation? I don't think you can. And so perhaps as by way of application, we can ask ourselves this evening, am I a part of the local fellowship at Charlottetown Bible Chapel? And I'm not asking here if you attend the meetings. Are you in fellowship first and foremost, where this all started with, is that that vertical relationship with God. Your fellowship with God is first and foremost. Out of that will flow everything else. Are we enjoying God? Are we enjoying our relationship with Him in our own personal quiet times? Secondly, maybe you had a meeting with one of the elders where we talked about fellowship, or maybe you had a letter of commendation read, but are you enjoying fellowship with the saints here? How are you using your gifts here? How are you edifying others and building up others? Are you meeting together with one another and other things? So there is responsibilities. If you are a part of a local church, you're going to be expected to step up, grab a hold of the rope, and start pulling. That's what fellowship is. There's work to be done in many different areas, but there's also immense benefits to being part of a local fellowship. That community that we have one for another as we look out for one another and we pray for one another and as we work together and labor together in the Lord. If you would like to be a part of the local fellowship here at the chapel, and you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage you to come talk to me or Dave or Leonard, and we'd like to move along that process. Living out a commitment to a local church involves many responsibilities: exemplifying a godly lifestyle in the community, exercising one's spiritual gifts in diligent service, contributing financially to the work of the ministry, giving and receiving admonishment with meekness and love, and faithfully participating in corporate worship. Much is expected, but much is at stake. For only when a believer is faithful to this kind of commitment is the church able to live up to her calling as Christ's representative here on earth. To put it simply, fellowship matters. With that, we'll just close. God and Father, we thank you for our time this evening. Father, we thank you for this local body of believers, the local testimony here in Charlottetown, Father, of people who have been a part of this meeting for generations, who have, from the very beginning, stepped up and given of their time, given of their energy in service to the King. Father, we thank you for the pattern we have seen of men and women coming here and just being so sacrificial of their time and their energy as they participate in the body. Father, we thank you for such an active meeting that we have here with so many ministries, so many opportunities to serve, and so many outreaches where we can present the gospel. And Father, so we are grateful for each one who is in the fellowship here. And Father, we pray for the upcoming ones, the next ones, who will become a part of the fellowship and will step in and who will contribute. We pray that, Father, as a body of believers here at Charlottetown, that we would remain unified and that we would remain steadfast, that we would remain committed here to this work. Remembering, Father, and always keeping in mind that who we are and what we are here to do, that we are not here living this life for our own enjoyment, for our own pleasure, but we're here in service of the King. So we pray as we press on and continue that you would just bless this work, and Father, we pray that we would just come to you for all things, that we would just rely on you for our daily strength, our daily bread. Father, we need you, and we need you in this local body of believers, and we want to always uphold the Word of God here and to have that be our flagship, Father. So we pray for your help as we endeavor to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.